This is a Stand Up Labs production, powered by digital media.
Hey guys, awesome episode with a very special guest that I'm super excited to have on. We get into talking about texting a girl that you never followed up with, choosing a roommate, and where to go on your post-grad vacation. Check it out, share it with friends, enjoy. J Train Podcast. This is J Train, Jared Freed, coming to you live from New York City's Upper West Side. Stand Up New York Labs are here every Tuesday and Friday with your emails, your stories, your questions. I say it every episode, and I love repeating myself. Thank you for listening. Thank you for telling a friend. Thank you for randomly snapping me pictures of you listening wherever you are. JTrain56, keep sending them. Keep showing me where you're at. It is feathering my nuts to a degree that I'm going to get an actual feather. And that's how I'm going to masturbate from now on, just with a feather on my nuts. All day long. We're getting to a point where it's getting absolutely fucking ridiculous how many people are listening to this. And I said it a couple weeks ago. It is quite a range of people. All the colors in the Crayola box. Everyone is listening. It's so much fun. We had the Comedy Outliers guys on last episode. That was a great episode. And I mean, I did that. I want to thank you guys again, because when I did the documentary with True TV, I wasn't sure how that would play for people. And Chris, you know this. I mean, I was nervous.
Yeah, no, I mean, we talked about it a few weeks before it came out, but I thought it was a really good representation of you. And of course, you'd be a little nervous. Yeah. It's a huge deal. I think you came across great, and it was a really good documentary.
And then when people from the podcast were sending me Snapchats being like, of the screen.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Of them watching. I was like, this is fucking cool. This is great, because it was a big moment in my life. So thank you guys again. Keep snapping me. JTrain56. And keep telling your friends, because we're coming up on to internship season. Now listen, if you've never had an internship, there's a lot of dead hours in those days. And this is the reason I brought on today's very special guest. This is I'm going to take a minute here before I introduce our guest, because I am in the business, and this is going to sound douchey, I'm in the business of funny. When I see something funny, I like to be involved with the funny.
When you walk in here, everybody goes, oh, Mr. Funny.
Mr.
Hello,
Funny.
President of Funny. Yeah.
President Funny. Yeah. Funny balls, you know, that's what everyone calls me, Sir Funny. See, our guest is so funny this week that when I said funny balls, he literally tickled imaginary nuts. And that is fucking great, because there's so much, especially with comedy, there's emotion that gets involved. There's egos. And sometimes what we do is a lot, sometimes when people will be like, oh, that guy's really funny, you'll be like, fuck that guy. I call it FTG mode. You're like, fuck that guy, whatever he's doing, whatever he's successful in. You're like, I don't want to deal with it because I'm trying to do the same similar thing. But no, really, the key to life is getting together and throwing ideas off each other and getting more funny together as one group as opposed to a part. And that brings me to introducing today's guest. And I'm a huge fan of his and the work he is doing. Office Talk, at Office Talk on Instagram. My man, Trip. Trip, thank you for coming on.
I couldn't be happy to be here. You know, this is just exactly where you want to be on a Wednesday afternoon, right here at JTrain 56, baby.
JTrain
56. Line it up. We'll knock them down.
Right in Papa JT's lap.
Yeah, baby.
I love it. And listen, for those of you that don't know, your Instagram account, and it started as is called Office Talk, and Explain how it came to be.
So Office Talk is a parody account for anybody who works in a white-collar environment and is sick and tired of all the egos who take themselves too seriously. You know those kind of people.
So listen, I worked in finance. I sold life insurance, and I remember there was a guy at my office, and I literally, in my head, you're what I would think of, like what you do on Instagram. Well, I follow the Instagram account. I'm going to follow the Snap. The Snapchat's Office Talk.
It's The Office Talk on Snapchat.
So go on Snapchat, The Office Talk. Trip is insanely funny. It's so spot on to the characters you see in an office.
Oh yeah, I mean, you got all the different flavors. You got the assistant, you got that guy who's really on the brink of making it but just really isn't making it
yes.
yet, but he wants to.
Yeah.
And then you got those guys right at the top there who kind of, you know, lead the way, the trailblazers, if you will.
And they literally talk in code. Like, they're talking in script.
Oh yeah.
I remember, so what I used to cold call, I would do a lot, I would cold call people like you. I know that you were
right on.
In a certain industry that I used to call all the time. So I'd cold call to try and do their financial planning.
Sure.
So I remember I would make like 300 dials a day, and then you would go and then you try and make appointments. So you try and meet with people at their office to present your wares, so to speak. And here's how I could help you. Here's my my value add.
Oh, right. Well, you know, really the account is to really anybody who is in a sales role, whether you're selling, you're schlepping insurance, whether you're schlepping technology.
It doesn't matter. It's the same characters exist across the board. And I remember there was this guy, I can't remember his name, but he was a young guy who was making serious dough. And he was like killing it. And listen, I was always, when I worked in that world, I was always just jealous of people who loved it. You know, I was like, I left to do comedy, but I was like, I left to do comedy because I love comedy. I was always jealous of those guys who were like the guy that you're imitating, you know,
right.
That's super into it. He wakes up every day. He's like, come on, we got to get our coffee and we got to break the sales record. And I was like, how does he get this energy?
Yeah. And it's all a front. You know, those guys are just in there, to make some money. They don't love what they do.
I watched this one guy. I remember going into his office and you would bring senior people on appointments with you.
Right.
And I went into his office and I was like, hey, man. And we had gone on an appointment to meet a guy. And then we were going to follow up with him. So I went in the senior guy's office, and the senior guy was a young guy. He was like around my age now. And I remember I walk in, I was like, hey, Matt, we got to call this guy. And he's like, yeah, we got to call him. Let's call him. Like everything was on edge.
Hey, man, you're spot on.
Yeah. And he literally gets on the phone. And he would dial the phone like he would dial it. It looked like it was hurting his fucking fingers. And he dials the phone. And he goes, hey. Yeah, it's Matt here. And the guy was like, oh, hey, man, I can't really talk right. He's like, we got to set up another meeting. And I remember being like, and the guy was like, yeah, I'm not sure. He goes, you're not sure? You know how much my time costs per minute? And he had broken down how much he made a year per minute. Like, and he goes, it is $100 a minute to meet with me. And like yelling at this guy who was just like, I just don't need your stuff anymore. And I remember like looking at that guy and I'm like, this is the funniest fucking thing that he doesn't know is funny.
Yep, that's perfectly right. I mean, it's all those blowhards out there who are, you know, in the they're selling. They're always trying to twist it in a way and use words that are a little bit above their pay grade.
Yes,
and you know, really, that's what this account's all about doing is really making fun of the words, the value adds, the synergies of this world we live in. You know,
yeah.
I'm sick and tired of it. You know, just, you know,
let's get on. I'm so far out of the game that I forget some of the words, and then you bring me.
I will bring you right back, baby.
Right the fuck back. So all of you need to get involved with Office Talk. It's at Office Talk on Instagram. It's at Office Talk 1 on Twitter, and it's The Office Talk on Snapchat. Correct?
You got it.
And Trip, I'm so pumped to have you here. You're like on brand for what we're about to do. You ready for the emails?
Oh, yeah. Let's bring them on, baby.
Let's go. You guys can send an email, jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. That's jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. And I am so serious. Keep telling your friends. It feathers my nuts every time you send me a snap of you listening to the podcast. It is so cool. Let's listen to this next level texting game. Okay, Trip? Jay Sage, I come to you today merely a humble man seeking to take a dip in your sage-like infinity pool of eternal fraternal wisdom. Were you in a fraternity?
I was not.
Where did you go to school?
I went to Clemson.
You went to Clemson?
I was down there, south of the border.
Yeah. You so you know the deal.
Oh, yeah, I get it. I get it.
There seems to be an epidemic of socially inept Greeks sweeping this nation after hearing some emails on the podcast like, how do I text a girl and how do I talk to the hot girl in my class? Well, sir, I would like to move past the basic novice level shit and get some actual helpful advice, which brings me to my question. What a preamble this guy
Let's
went.
Get it. Feather away, baby.
How do you go about trying to hook up with a girl whose number you got but never really made a move on? Whether it be you weren't really feeling her at the time or just outright didn't quite feel like putting in the minuscule effort that is texting. Sometimes the watering hole that is college bar scene experiences, a slight drought and you've got to make a play on some leads that you never followed up on. How do you re-spark this flame without looking like you're holding a neon sign above your head that says, I need my dick sucked. Looking forward to your advice. Thanks in advance, your protege in training. Now, Trip, we know what it's like to have a couple leads that you never followed up on, right?
Oh, yeah. You got those dead leads kind of sitting there at the bottom of the barrel. You got to resuscitate those bad boys. You got to pump some life into them. So what you do?
Okay.
You put out the dangler question, okay? Just a dangle question.
A dangler.
Okay? It could be anything.
Yeah.
You know, it could be whatever you're thinking about right now. Ask her, you know, why is my shirt so pink after last night? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, but then she's like, hello? And you're like, I'm sorry, wrong text. Who is this again? And you just lead into it that way.
Oh, so you play the dumb guy.
Yeah, you like oh my gosh, I completely forgot I had this number on my phone. Who is this again?
Yes.
You know?
And this is for anyone that you just didn't follow up on. Because
right.
The problem can be that you texted with a girl and then there's you can see the prior conversation that just went dead. You ever have that happen?
Oh, all the time.
When you're texting with this girl and then you're like, oh, we never even went out on a date, but it got to a point where it's like, yeah, we'll talk next Tuesday. And then it says, we'll talk next Tuesday. And then it's like 3 months ago. And you're like, whatever happened to that chick with the tits?
Yeah, January 16th, 2013. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's alive.
Yeah.
No,
and then you write
back.
Wrong text. And it's like, no, you saw this conversation.
Yeah. You have the red message underneath the date right there. It's
exactly.
Like, you never do that.
Well, no, we've turned on read receipts here.
Oh, we do?
That's a podcast initiative.
I see.
That we put on as a power move.
Good to know.
It's great.
It is.
Yeah, because you're putting people, not just girls, guys too, in a position of like, yeah, I saw it.
Okay. And then if you ignore it, you just go ahead and ignore it. Yeah. And they get the
It's end, a subtle know. Nod. You I know, see. It's more than, it's not, there's no, you know, it's just saying, okay, cool, man. All right.
Cool, I can't dignify that with a response, but cool, man.
Yeah, that is, right. It's literally the unsaid cool dude.
I get it.
You know? But I think I think what you're saying is totally right. You want to come in with a little bit of, come in with something.
Well, it has to be interesting. You can't just throw like a lame duck question out there.
Yeah.
You know, think about it for a second, because the point of this is to bring them back to life. They're
bring
dead,
back,
okay?
Yeah.
They might have an inkling of a pulse.
Mm.
You know, we're trying to bring that back to life. So it's got to be interesting. You know, something happened in the news. Something, you know, some, you know.
I think even more than that is acknowledgement. Is like, hey, where, I always do this move. This is my move. I act like, even with the no text, or there's been a few texts, I'll see you in January, and then it's, you know, already April. Mm-hmm. Just write, where have you been? Where have you been? And then they're like, where? And then always, here's what's come back. I know what she's going to write back. Where have you been? Now it's flirty. She knows what this deal is. And you don't send it at 2 a.m. Do not send it late night.
When do you send it, though?
You send it 5 o'clock on a Thursday. Where have you been? And now it's because what you're doing with 5 o'clock on a Thursday is you're saying, first of all, you're acknowledging that you guys have gone radio silent. Okay. Second of all, you're doing it during what should be a sober moment.
Sure.
So you have thought to yourself about her at a time that you probably wouldn't in her mind thinking of your dick, which you are.
Sure. But it's almost party time.
It's almost party time. It's dusk, baby.
Well, you're thinking about the party. You're still at your desk.
Yeah.
You're cleaning up emails. You're thinking about the night ahead. And,
exactly.
And she's top of mind.
Top of mind.
Boom.
Exactly. This is what I'm saying. So
yeah, take
you're
that
giving,
to the bank.
Take it to the bank. You're giving her a primo timing for that text to happen. You got to do it at a time where it's like, I'm thinking about you and I'm thinking about you now. You know, not like it's not a passing thought. It's I've thought about this ex. And then it's just, where have you been?
Mm-hmm.
And then she writes back, where have you been? And it's, and then you're, now you're coming in with jokes.
Oh yeah. You're off to the races.
Now you're off to the races. Well, you know, and now you're talking about, now you could even, I'll even do this. I'll acknowledge my stalking. I'll go weird.
That's aggressive.
It's a good, no, you gotta, You want to be...
There's more to this. I want to hear it. Go ahead.
You, I hear what you say with aggressive. You want to be aggressive when you have... You want to play tug of war. You don't want to have one side of the rope and only be pulling. So what I mean by that is you don't want to say, you know, where have you been? And then 10 minutes later, question mark. 10 minutes later, question mark. 10 minutes later, what the fuck? You're not answering me? No! This is... You're throwing... You're literally throwing a half court shot up right with this shit.
Right.
You don't know if she's been back in a relationship. Well, and this is, you do know that because you've stalked a little bit, but I'm saying you don't know what else is really going on in her life other than an Instagram post that got your heart. Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying is, where have you been? And then she's, where have you been? And then you acknowledge, and then you say, just checking out Coachella pics.
Timely.
How was
Timely.
It? Exactly. Yeah. So now you're talking about her life. Now you're saying that you are interested. Now you're saying that she is a something that you, she's a valued product that you're trying to buy.
Right.
And this is the tug of war I'm talking about. Now she's going to your pics. And now we're acknowledging that we have checked in on each other. And really what you're doing is vetting out the flirt.
Yeah.
You're saying, is she as thirsty as I am? Has she thought about me at least once? If she hasn't, you're going to know pretty fucking quickly.
Yeah, and you reminded her why you guys were texting in the first place.
Exactly. You reminded her about the fun that you used to bring to the table. And
we used to have something.
We used to do it. You know? I do this. I'll do this texting thing. When I found myself, you know what's fucking sad? I've done this where I've seen there was a girl that put up an Instagram picture like a few weeks back, and it was like a hot picture. And I was like, what is happening? The picture went up 5 minutes later. My text went to her like, what's going on tonight? And she wrote back. Like, I remember we ended up hooking up that night. And the next day she's like, I should just put up an Instagram picture every day. And it's like, here's the thing though. We all know what the fuck's going on. We all, you know, don't lie to you. We are all 10% away from each other. We're all feeling, thinking, and doing the same exact fucking things within 10%. So there's a 20% swing of how we're all acting and feeling and thinking.
And we're getting technical.
So okay. This is what I'm saying. So trust that. Trust that belay system that you're tied into, which is humanity. Mm-hmm. We are all on the same rope. And we got to trust that. You got to trust those, in, you know, because if I'm looking at you, you're looking at me. We've all gone through all the, you know, like when you go on a date and she's like, and she, you know, it's a first date and she's like, yeah, my parents are divorced. And you're like, yeah, I know. I saw you tagged in that picture with mom and Steve.
Right.
What do you think? I'm a fucking idiot. And then you have to be like, oh, they're divorced. Like you have to go through this. We are all doing that, which is fine. It's okay to play a front. But no, we're playing a front and initiate based on that. Now you look like you're a fucking soothsayer.
Oh yeah,
like when you're like, oh, how was Coachella? And she's like, oh fuck, he's looking at mine just like I'm looking at his.
Well, I loved your dress.
Yeah,
real drapey.
Exactly. Yeah. I love that flower crown you put on. You didn't look anything like everyone else. jtrainpodcast@gmail.com, jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. Here with Office Talk Trip, my man, you're the best, man. I'm so happy you're here.
Oh, no, you're the best, baby.
At Office Talk on Instagram, at Office Talk 1 on Twitter, The Office Talk on Snapchat. Go check it out. Super fucking funny, guys. Go check it out. You got the J Train stamp of approval. I don't lead you wrong on this shit, okay? I know funny. This guy's fucking hilarious. Roommate. You got a roommate?
I do.
You do?
Yeah, baby.
How'd you come across this roommate?
You know, just an old guy, an old friend of mine. You know,
buddy.
We both interested in the same, you know, same stuff.
Does he ever make it in the videos?
You know what? He doesn't. He doesn't.
Is he filmed?
He puts in his input.
No, the best video is the one where you're at brunch. My favorite, the one I showed people, is there's one where you're credit card roulette.
Oh, yeah.
That is the funniest.
Anybody can relate to that.
I love credit card roulette. I think that's such a fun game at a brunch.
Well, have you ever suggested playing credit card roulette? Is that something that you've ever brought up at brunch?
I bring it up sometimes. I've always done, we do it at bachelor parties a lot.
Okay.
So we'll be a big group of dudes and we'll be like credit card roulette. And one time we have one buddy where his big shtick is to talk about how rich he is all the time.
Okay.
And he does have some dough. His family's got some dough. He's so hateable that he's lovable.
Okay.
So, but his shtick is this, and we all went to, we went on a bachelor party to, what's it called? What's a ski place? Vail.
Okay.
Which is even more douchey. And we go to this place to get, it's 10 of us. We start drinking. We went up to the mountain. We did literally one ski down the mountain and then just went straight to the bar and just started pounding.
That's why you're there.
Exactly. Yeah. And in Vail, there's so many older women. It's all MILFs.
Cougar Nation.
Cougar fucking Nation. You got it right. So we're all sitting around this table. We start pulling in cougars left and right. And he's like, he goes, if it, and this is how he texts. He goes, if it gets over 1,000, I'll pay.
Oh my God.
So, and it's like his joke, and it's like, we're not going to get over 1,000. He went to the bathroom, and I ordered so many drinks. So many drinks. And then they came back, and we're like, get to the, no. What happened was, this is the real story. I fucked it up. We get to the end of the thing, and he goes to the bathroom, and we have the waiter come over, and we're like, how much is the tab? And he's like, $880. Like, it was 10 of us. So, that makes some sense in this town like
that. It's not egregious.
Not crazy. And I was like, and I looked at the waiter, and I'm like, we'll have 2 bottles of champagne and shots for the whole table.
Oh, we're getting there. We're getting to a fucking thousand.
Yeah, yeah. And we then didn't tell him. He came back and he brings out the check and it's over that. And we're like, because we're hammered. We're chanting in this bar.
Oh, yeah.
And
fireworks go off.
Oh,
yeah,
man. We're making out with these old chicks. We're touching their fake titties. And then
at this point, you're drinking for free.
Oh, yeah.
It's a win.
And he's looking at us like, you fucking dick.
But Carrie's rich. This is what he asked for.
Yeah. So then he puts down Papa's gold card.
Proudly.
Parents' gold card. And literally, then the card gets denied.
No kidding.
And he had to call to let them know that it was like an okay purchase.
Oh, that's humiliating for a guy.
Humiliating.
Like that. He'll never let that down.
Oh, we bring it up all the time. It's so fantastic.
And oh, that's so funny.
This is the same guy that when he showed me his business card, I was a senior in college and I was going into my senior year and he had just graduated and he was working and he showed me he goes, take a look at this. And it was his business card and I took it and I just ate it.
Oh, that's funny. He wanted you to comment on the nice bumps that are kind of printed into the card, Patrick Bateman style.
Yes.
I mean, you didn't give him that satisfaction.
Didn't give it to him. I literally ate it and shit it out that day.
High in protein.
This guy writes, hi, J Train. I'm a senior, high school senior looking for a roommate in college, but I think this applies to any age group. Oh, yeah, this is a high school
email.
This is a high school email.
That's good stuff.
What should I look for in a roommate? He thinks that this could apply to anyone. Okay. What should I look for in a roommate? This is from a lady email too. We should play that music. A double whammy.
All right. Is that what that is?
Yeah. Chick email.
All right.
Should she be hotter, uglier than me? Have the same interests, have grown up near me. Is it better for her to be single in a relationship, etc.? I don't know what is most important because there aren't endless options to find my perfect roommate. Thank you. So what do you think, what would you look for in a roommate? What's been your best and worst roommates?
Listen, if I'm a chick, I definitely have to be hotter, okay?
You gotta
look for someone who's single.
Lead cat.
Okay, you have similar interests, so she's just, everything you say, she's gonna agree with. She's going to follow you around on her hip. You're going to go out to the bars. You're going to go to the library. And she's going to be there.
Yeah.
And you're going to look better at all times.
Yeah, you got to be the jungle cat. And she's got to be Mr. Bojangles.
Have you ever heard of the
trash cat?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Designated ugly fat friend, the Duff.
Yeah,
you got to have one of those, right? I mean, why not make it your roommate?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I think also, for a woman, I think the thing you want to look... You don't want to be with... If you're a younger girl, if you're at the age 25 below, you don't want a roommate with a girl that has a boyfriend.
No, you do not.
You do not want that. And it goes both ways. Either it's the worst. There's two evils. Either she's always sleeping out and you're alone for options on who to go out with, which is nice sometimes. But when you're young, you want a fucking party.
Right.
And also... You don't want him sleeping at your place all the time.
That's right. Because
guys are fucking disgusting.
That's right.
He will plop himself into your situation and take over the whole place with his smell.
Yeah.
Yeah. He won't understand boundaries and shit like that. So you want If I'm a girl 25 and below, I want to be with a single girl. 25 and above, I want a girl in a relationship.
Sure.
Because she's sleeping out. Now I get the place to myself.
Basically your apartment. At that
basically
point,
your apartment. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the divider. You want to go with an UGG if she's single.
Okay, what's an UGG?
Ugly.
Okay, I see what you did there. Okay.
Yeah. You want to go ugly if you're single. If you're not single, I think you want to go with a hotter roommate.
A semi-yummy.
Now, why is that?
A semi-yummy.
Yeah, a semi-yummy from our last episode. I think if you're in a relationship, you want the hotter roommate because now she brings a little bit of action to your place. I think the biggest thing with any roommate is that you just want to – I think you want to know – any roommate, I think when you're in college, if you're looking for a college roommate, you want to go through a friend of a friend. That's the move. Like, you want to be set up. Because if your friend is friends with this person, that means you're both friends for the same reason, and you'll probably get along.
Sure.
I think going to college and being roommates with someone from home is a huge mistake.
Why is that?
Because then you get caught in home ties. You have no chance to open up your world
and branch
to new.
Out. Right,
doesn't
right.
get you branch out because now you have the crutch that is the person from home. Also, you have the weight that is the person from home. They mm-hmm. know you, the personality that you've created. So I think when you get fixed up, you can be more the self that you've become mm-hmm. instead of the self that they knew in fifth grade.
Right. They'll bring that baggage right to the present.
Totally.
Whatever happened in high school, middle school, yeah.
It doesn't give you a chance to blossom.
You don't need that.
So, but if they're two doors away, if the person from high school is two doors away, that's great.
Yeah.
I think that's enough space to let you get and have your own time and for them not to weigh you down so you can go and have your own time on your own schedule.
Yeah, when you need a little taste of home, you got that, got it right around the corner. But it's not in your room.
I went hanging out
in a robe.
Do you remember who in college, who your first roommate?
Oh, yeah.
How'd you end up with that person?
I mean, I got paired with him. It was great.
Just randomly,
fine.
Right?
Yeah.
I was randomly paired too, and it was fine.
Yeah.
I was happy with it.
I don't talk to him anymore, but yeah, I mean.
I don't talk to him anymore. Right. I'm the same way. It worked for me, but it also let me be me.
Right.
I feel like I wouldn't have become the person I've become if I had tried to. I think in life, and I think this is like life advice, all joking aside, is you don't, the more you try to meticulously plan your future, the more you box yourself in.
Yeah.
When you started, you started a Snapchat account because you wanted it to be fun.
Sure.
Right? Is that what
this is exactly why you do it. But because it's fun.
Is that, do you remember the first snap you put out there?
Not really. Oh, the first Office Talk snap, yes. Yeah.
You remember it?
Right there at the beginning.
What was the impetus for you doing that was, this is funny.
Yeah.
That's the only reason you did it. It's the most natural and most genuine reason for doing something.
Exactly.
And it's not like you did it because you're like, I want to go and be on the J Train podcast someday.
Right. I mean, this is my goal. But this is that aside.
Now it's your goal.
Sure.
But it wasn't at the. this is what I'm saying, though. In all these things that you do that are genuine, if you start with a genuine effort, it will get you to a genuine result.
That's right.
And I think that's like, that's a lesson for anything. Like, you see it with jobs all the time. Like, when I was looking for jobs, when I'm doing comedy, I don't do a bit because I'm like, oh, this will sell well on this show. I'm like, no, because I think this is funny and this just happened.
People will like this. It's funny. If you think it's funny, people,
this will be great. Totally. And it's the same with your roommate. If you go in and just give yourself to the system, it'll give itself right back to you and it'll be anything that'll happen. Everything happens for a reason and everything happens for the best. So I think if you're sitting at home and you're in high school, you're wondering about, oh my God, my roommate, give yourself to it. You gave yourself to
it.
I did too. We went both with random roommates and it worked out. We're still living. We're still breathing. We still both, I'm assuming, loved our college experience.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And when you get out of college, then you want to, I think setups are the best way to go.
I totally agree with you.
Yeah. And you go setups. I mean, my roommate when I first got out of college was one of my fraternity brothers.
Yeah.
And the most important thing with any post-college roommate is to never be passive aggressive. I think that's the only way to go. If there are dishes in the sink, call it the fuck out.
Yeah.
Don't ever leave something that bothers you unsaid.
You got to have guidelines.
You got to have guidelines. And
it's a relationship. You got to make sure that everybody's kind of pulling their weight. And
but this happens so many times with roommates. And I see it with female roommates all the time. They're like, I fucking hate my roommate. And it's just because they didn't talk.
Yeah.
It's because guys like the ball bust. Like if you and I were rooming together and you brought a chick home and, I'd assume you were banging her so loud that I couldn't sleep. I'd be like, what the fuck? What the fuck, Long John? You gotta bang on the walls? Get, you know, and I would call it out. And I think men are better than that than women.
Sure.
But I think if you, in any living situation, the best way to live is to call out the shit that bothers you right away. Because it'll hurt. It's like a Band-Aid. You'll rip it off and you'll be like, ah. But then you guys will be better roommates for it.
It'll be awkward for a little bit.
A little bit. But my brother and I live together right now. And it's my younger brother.
It's fantastic.
And we'll get in fights and the fight happens and then it's over. And it's like, yeah. and people are like, how is it like to live with your brother? I'm like, it's great because there's no, I would never let something go on set. I've been telling him how I feel my whole life.
Yeah.
So I think if everyone lived that way, their roommate situation would be like 20 times better.
Well, I mean, I got a friend who found their roommate on Craigslist.
Yeah.
You know, and it's actually worked out terribly. I mean,
oh, really?
You know, there's constant contention and they never talk about it. So I totally agree with that. You gotta call it out right away and you gotta nip it in the bud.
Especially with a Craigslist person and someone you don't know as well, because here, you know, you don't know this person.
Yeah.
It's like dating. You're not going to know what bothers the person unless you say, is this okay? Only if you say, it bothers me, when?
Right.
And I think that's the best way with roommates, because then you get down a road where you can't bring it up.
Right.
And then you're like, ah, fuck, now I got to fuck in the dark and the quiet, and I got to tell this chick to be like, shh, my roommate gets mad, I think, when I fuck loud. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com, JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. We're here with Office Talk, @OfficeTalk on Instagram, The Office Talk on Snapchat, Office Talk 1 on Twitter. Trip, man, you're killing it. I'm so happy you're here.
Happy to be here.
So pumped to have you. Do you know Mother's Day is coming up?
Is it?
Mother's Day is coming up.
I always kind of forget about that every year. I shouldn't.
I forget about it.
I love my
it.
Mother, but you know, it just kind of sneaks up on you,
doesn't it? It sneaks up. It's May 8th. You're welcome, listener at home.
Well, I know exactly what I'm going to be doing when I get home tonight.
You're going
to... Got to get a presents for mom.
Well, you got to do something, right?
Yeah.
You ever fucked up Mother's Day?
You know what? It's very easy to kind of recover if you have. I mean, a card never hurt.
What's your mom?
Yeah.
My mom is super into getting sent something in the mail. Because really what it is, it's you put thought into this.
Right.
And the worst is when, like, the problem we have, and let me complain for a fucking second.
Go ahead, man. Let it loose.
We're at a period of time, timing is everything. We're at a period of time where the card industry is being phased out. Hallmark is going by the wayside because of the internet. You can send an e-card very easily. I'm e-card trained in a world with parents that are real card trained. Does this make sense to everyone here?
Yeah, absolutely. So now it's an analog in a digital world.
So I am...
Well, you got to meet them at their level.
So this is what I'm saying. If you're a kid, you have to live in the analog world. You have to send something.
Most definitely.
An e-card won't fucking do it. For you, maybe. For you and I, when we have kids, you know, it'd be nice to get an e-card.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'll get it.
She's not like... She's my mom, like the half effort,
if it doesn't have postal service on it, my mom's like, fuck it. Doesn't give a shit. She'll throw it right in the fucking garbage. So I'm telling you right now, May 8th, it's coming. So you got to prepare. You got to get ahead. And here's how I'm going to help you. I'm going to give you some help. This is from Papa J Train to the listener. May 8th is Mother's Day. It sneaks up on you every single year. But look, you've still got time to order mom the best flowers of her life from Buchs.com. Buchs flowers are, in a word, gorge. Totes gorge. Buchs flowers are grown at eco-friendly farms on the side of a volcano. Seriously, a volcano. That's insane.
I've never heard of that before.
I know. I guess the blooms are larger. The colors are more vibrant.
It lasts longer?
Better soil. And it's at 10,000 feet. So it's like this is where you're getting the best part of the sun. Order from Buchs.com today. Because if you wait until the last second, you're going to get second-rate flowers. You're going to get those limpy-looking ones. It's going to look like whiskey dick flowers. And we bent over.
It's going to look like the guy throwing the bouquet in the Banksy picture. You know, yeah. It just doesn't look good to anybody.
Look at Mansamp with his liberal bullshit. Bringing up Banksy. Listen, you don't want to get second-rate flowers. You want to get gorgeous flowers from the Buchs that really do say, thanks, Mom, for all that you do. So what's the gorgeousness cost? It's pretty cheap, guys. Buchs prices start at a mere $40. No upcharges, no extra fees. Even delivery is absolutely free when you register with the Buchs. Listeners of our show, the J Train Podcast, get 20% off the bouquet of your choice. That's what us Jews call a deal.
I know what I'm doing tonight.
Yeah, you got to go Bouqs.com. That's Bouqs.com. And the promo code is TFM. That's Bouqs.com, promo code TFM to get 20% off. Go do that. Don't fuck this up, people. You got one mom or two. If you're in one of those Mansamp liberal relationships.
I was just going to say, now who's the liberal?
Or two, one that looks like a dude.
What's up, guys? This is Rob Fox from the Inside TFM podcast. You can hear us every Thursday talk about all the dumb, drunk shit we did and what's going on at TFM and our takes on just what's going on around colleges in the country. So subscribe to us on iTunes or you can catch us on the site every Thursday.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com here with Trip from Office Talk. Dude, it's so good to have you here. You're killing it. Let's go to the next email. You ready?
Yeah, baby.
Not so midlife crisis. Hey, Jew Red. Love the podcast, and I frequently snap you while I'm listening. I'm 20 years old and a sophomore at a school who would be a below average size if it were a dick. Time to get a little serious. I've switched my major twice, and I'm starting to question my current choice because I picked it on a whim when I switched out of my last one. I started questioning whether I want to change again or just take some time off to figure what I really want to do. I went to a very highly ranked high school, and I feel like I'm still living in that shadow. Like I'll be disappointing people if I take time off for myself. I don't really want a specific answer from you on what route to take because you could potentially fuck up my life, but I just want your opinion on my situation. P.S. Shout out to my boyfriend who introduced me to your podcast this week a year ago. His Snapchat is It's Jeremy G. Feel free to send him lots of shits from the girl who snaps you while listening in the bathtub with her boyfriend. Sounds great.
Well, I'm having trouble addressing the question, thinking about you in a bathtub, Felicia. but listen, you're still in college. You know, yeah. I can tell you that I thought about changing my major two or three times. You're young. You got all the time in the world. You know, billionaires aren't created until they're 50s sometimes. So you got all the time. Do not rush it. I mean, F the haters. You know, really just kind of think about what you really like to do and then, you know, pursue it. But
what was your major?
I was in business.
You're in business?
In finance, yeah.
So, you've seen people come into your office. You work at an office.
Mm-hmm.
When they come in with their majors, are you really even looking at that?
Not really. I mean, you like to have a little bit of a background on whatever you're going to be doing.
Yeah.
But you're really talking to the person. You're trying to figure out who they are.
Totally.
That's really what's important.
I think the underrated thing about college is it's there to teach you how to problem solve. You know, mm-hmm. It's not about doing the calculus.
Yeah.
It's about getting to the understanding how to do the parts of the calculus
right. That
get you to the right answer.
Sure, sure.
And working that out. It's like when the teacher gives you a little page that you can write notes on for the test, and then you don't need the page at all.
Right.
You know, they want to teach you how to prepare for something.
Mm-hmm.
So what they've done by giving you that like cheat sheet is taught you how to actually study for their test. So my point of all of this is stay the course.
Yeah.
I think, switching majors and stuff, I've never heard that explanation from someone and thought that they were doing, that they had a handle on their life.
Right. I mean, you and I still don't have a handle on our lives, you know?
At all.
You know?
You never do, but I'm saying like the whole major thing, you're at college to do well in whatever you're in. Whatever you're in, if you're like, I don't like this, just keep doing well.
Yeah.
I think that's because what you can do is get so bogged down by the noise of, am I in the right major? Am I doing this? Am I doing this right? Just do the work.
Mm-hmm.
If you do the work, the rest will come and fit into place. So I think switching again for a third time, just get through college, get the degree. Right.
It's about the process and the ride. And, as long as you have good time, learn a little bit about yourself.
Totally.
You'll get to the right place.
And here's what we do live in. We live in a world today that our parents never had. We have access to every piece of information on anything you could ever be interested in via the internet. So my advice, when I started comedy, I Googled open mics and I found them. I don't even know. It was super easy for me to find those things, just because of the internet. I don't know if I would have had the energy in me to search out open mics in newspapers. Maybe I would have. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if I would have had the energy to submit columns unless I, you know, to a newspaper that might never get printed.
Right.
You know, when I was doing columns for Bro Bible and then Total Friday. I don't know if I would have had that energy. Today, we have access to so much. So, mm-hmm. while you're, so the advice is to put your head down, mm-hmm. do get good grades in whatever the major is, and fucking graduate. Get through it.
Things can happen so quickly, too. I mean, you could be doing one thing, the next thing, you know, just next day you'll be interested in something else. You get an opportunity, you take it.
But
I mean,
even more to Office Talk on, you know, you have the Snapchat account, the Office Talk on Snapchat. You started that because that was something that was interesting to you. You were like, this will be fun. And that is leading you in the direction that is taking you all the way to the J Train podcast, which mm-hmm. I'm sure is a thrill for you. But what I'm saying by that is you don't know what that's going to be. So I know she's so nervous about, I didn't know what interested me
yeah.
either, but I wish I had put my head down and done better in college instead of worrying about that stuff. Cause you can't control it. So
right.
put your head down, work on the stuff you think. And then in your free time, what makes you happy? And try and do that in your free time, because you'll love doing it in your free time. You won't think of it as a job or a major. You'll just think of it as pursuing another interest and make it a hobby.
Yeah.
And then keep digging into that hobby. And the more you dig into it, that hobby becomes maybe a little bit more, or maybe it doesn't become more at all. And at least you didn't switch a major.
Yeah.
You know, you can go sign up for classes that don't have anything to do with your major that you just want to see if you're interested in it.
Right. I mean, I wish I could have taken a wine tasting class.
Totally.
You know, that was offered. Yeah. I don't know why I didn't, in retrospect.
And looking back, you're probably like, well, I didn't take it because the credits didn't go towards my major.
Right, right.
But that didn't matter. You would have loved that skill loved today. To.
And now I'm at dinner faking like I know exactly what's in the wine, like the tannins in the wine tonight. Really, really strong.
Yeah. If I get a buddy who works in wine, he sells wine. And he's studying, taking all these classes now, like become like a somm and all that stuff. Like he's going through all that stuff. And he's like, it's so great to listen to people's bullshit with wine.
Yeah, you could do it so easily, too.
I mean, there could be a wine talk Snapchat account.
There could be.
As
could
much as there's an Office Talk one.
Just keywords, buzzwords, you know?
Buzzwords, tannins.
Jargon.
The legs. Oakiness. Legs.
That's right.
Legs. What I'll do is sometimes, you know, so if you've got to, the best is use your buddies and their things that they do. When guys ask me, like, where should I go to a comedy club? Like, I'm like, okay, here's where you go. Here's how you're going to get laid. I remember there was a snow day. There was like a day where it snowed real bad here. So I was I texted my buddy. I was like, what would you drink for wine on a snow day? And he's like, Roan. He like knew right away.
Get out of here with that Roan.
He goes, get the Roan. He had like a one sentence explanation. And I was like, you know what? We should just get some Roan. And, you know, it's one of those, it's like a snow wine. And I'm looking like the King Dick.
Like,
it was such a great move.
Expert over here.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. We'll do one more and then we'll go to hypotheticals. Yeah, go ahead. Mm-hmm. This has been great. Go to Office Talk at Office Talk on Instagram, Office Talk 1 on Twitter, The Office Talk on Snapchat. I like this one.
Okay.
I feel like we're going to hit it off on this one. Post-grad vacation. Okay. Hey, J-Train, the podcast is fire. I want to go on vacation after college because I never did the big spring break. All of my best friends will be broke or moving far away, so I'll likely have to do it alone. 1, any places you suggest. 2, internationals on the table because there's no nagging budget because I honestly don't care. Lastly, got to ask 2 questions here. Are these vacation spots cliquish? I'm not ghetto, but I am black, and I never truly know what environment I'm in. Great podcast. Keep it up. I love this question. What would you do if you were going to take, the summer after graduation, what would you do?
I mean, my first question is, what were you doing during your spring breaks in undergrad? I mean,
just never got involved.
Just fiddling it.
I skipped one spring break, and it was the biggest mistake I ever made.
You got to take advantage of that.
Do it. Fucking do it.
You know, and then all of a sudden, you're asking questions on J-Train about vacation.
I know. Listen, but I do like that idea of like I'm graduating. I'm going to do something fucking weird.
Yeah. Well, I got a couple spots for you. I went to the Yacht Week, a Yacht Week experience. I don't know if any of you all out there have heard about Yacht Week, but Yacht Week.
What is Yacht Week? This is the best ever.
Oh yeah, Yacht Week is free and commercial for them, but it's basically you get about 10 people or just yourself.
Okay.
For our listener here.
Yeah.
And you basically get on a yacht and you sail around.
Where's Yacht Week?
Well, I'll tell you. There's six different locations, and I think I have this right. We went to the British Virgin Islands.
Okay.
And it was a blast. It was ten of my friends, and you know, we got real frisky down there. You know, tons of fun, tons of sun, and it was multicultural. So you know, we had black people, we had everybody.
Good to know.
But there are other locations. There's Croatia. You got Italy. You got Greece. You got Turkey. I wouldn't go to Turkey even if you paid me right now, but you know, that aside, and then you have I think there's one more. I think I'm missing it. Anywho, but
so wait a minute. This is 1 week out of the year that's just Yacht Week.
I think they have multiple weeks. I mean, you can pick a week,
and certain places have. You know, it just they'll be like, okay, this is when all the yachts come.
Well, no, so I think it depends on, you know, the popularity you get for any given week. But there are some high volume weeks where there can be like 100 yachts,
and you could just Google Yacht Week.
And they just regatta around these beautiful spots. Yeah, you Google yachtweek.com. I think it's theyachtweek.com.
And I'm sure you could sign up for one where you can do one where everyone's alone.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think like you can get your boat with all your buddies. You know, and costumes are encouraged. Or you can be a soloman and you can go down there and you get paired with all these. You might get stuck with, you know, maybe a fivesome, which I'm okay with. Or you can be on a boat with all, you
probably
know, singles.
You got a lot of like expats. You got a lot of people from other countries.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it gets
multicultural, gets hairy. It's.
And would you, like, you just had your own boat with all your friends?
Yes. Yeah.
And would you hop on other boats?
Oh,
and,
yeah. Like, so what they, I mean, they kind of sail every day. You sail, and then at night you dock up, and they have a party every night.
Did you get a captain's hat?
Oh, no, I did not get a captain's hat.
You know, I would have had the skipper hat.
I didn't have a little goatee, though.
You had a goatee?
It was. I'll never do that again. Anyway, but you know, you have a party at night every night, different themes. You have a white party one night, and everybody's wearing white clothes.
Well, the black guy can't go to that. But
black clothes, no, black clothes.
Yeah.
The only way you'd be able to find them. But but during the day they tie you up, so you can kind of go around to different boats and like, get to know each other, and kind of float around. And
this is a great idea. I love this. And plus, the best part about this is it's like, listen, and this kind of goes back to the email before with the girl. What should I do? All that. You're so young, and you don't think of it. Every age you're at is the oldest you've ever been.
Yeah,
you are young, and you have time to go work for the rest of your life. Doing a trip like that where you're with all your boys, how many times could you do that now? They're all getting married.
Right.
They all have shit going on, and all that is cliche. You're like, oh, everyone gets married, everyone gets busy. It's cliche because it's real.
Yeah.
You know, that summer after college is a great time. I got a house at the Jersey Shore.
Did you?
Avalon.
Dangerous.
Southern Jersey Shore with a bunch of dudes and just lived at the beach. And I would say that was a fun time because like you had people coming in, people coming out every weekend. The weeks were quiet. I like the Yacht Week better. And I also think that you plan, I think when you go abroad, the move is to just like these trips that the Yacht Week trip, that's a good idea because you can sign up as an alone person. Like there's like there's like all these like programs where you can just sign up as an alone person where the program is all people on their own just looking to travel.
Yeah.
And they have these out there. And you should all, I mean, if you have the chance, you got to do it.
Definitely.
Definitely got to do it.
I mean, and money bags over here, money's not an issue.
Not an issue.
It's you know, right around 2 to 3 G's and all in. And I think that's for a week. You know, to kind of go wherever you want, nice place. That's hard to beat.
And also the clicky thing is, and here's my advice for that. If you're going to do like an abroad, you know, last, you know, end of the college trip, go stay at hostels. Hostel people are a little weird.
Oh, yeah.
They're looking to get weird. Mm-hmm. They're young. They're not with a lot of money. So they're looking for other people to like team up with, to go out with. And those hostel people are just looking for that experience that he's looking for. So if you stay at a hostel, that's like the place to be to hook up with some Finnish dude that you'll never speak to again that will show you around Finland.
But just make sure to establish a safe word.
Yes. And then some contact information and all that stuff. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Trip, thank you for coming on.
My pleasure.
This was awesome. I'm so pumped. I love your account. So go check out Trip Office Talk on Instagram, Office Talk 1 on Twitter. And the place to really catch it is on Snapchat, The Office Talk on Snapchat. Go follow it, support it. So funny. We're going to come right back with hypotheticals, the news, and some shout outs and some callbacks to some past episodes. We'll be right back. Hey guys, welcome back. Trip, our man from Office Talk, had to get going to the office. Gotta go close deals. You guys gotta all go check out his Snapchat, The Office Talk, also Instagram, at Office Talk on Instagram. Such a funny account.
Yeah, you were showing me a bunch of the videos yesterday. It's really good.
So fucking good. So everyone should go check that out. Chris, thank you for coming on.
Yeah, of course.
At ManSam, Mandatory Samson Podcast, every Friday along with this one. Let's do some hypotheticals, you and I.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's get intimate. Would you rather have the ability to do a perfect standing back tuck backflip as long as there's room?
Okay.
Okay. Or have a magical frisbee that can hit anything with 100% accuracy within 100 feet? An important question to ponder, which would win you more bar bets?
Right. The frisbee, I think, would win you more bar bets because it's possible to do flips. Like, you've seen people on the Olympics or whatever. Yeah. You've seen it on TV. Like, you know, just with enough practice, essentially, you could get to that point. A frisbee is so... people can't throw a frisbee just regular to each other, you know?
Yeah, but here's the problem. And this is the forest through the trees. Okay. We're not seeing the forest through the trees.
All right.
Frisbees don't get you laid.
Well, here's the other thing. I'm not trying to get laid anymore. I'm
this
engaged.
Is true. So you as an engaged guy, you want to win froth events.
Yeah, and it would just be fun to be able to be like, fuck that guy, and throw a frisbee and just
and
nail
knock
him
in the head and be like, sorry.
Yeah, right.
It had to have been a mistake because you're so far away.
Exactly.
I'm thinking, for me, I want the back tuck backflip as long as there's room because I could do that in a bar and then match it with a high kick.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that.
Listen, how great is that move? I just back everyone up. How great would it be at a wedding when the circle opens, you get in the middle and you kind of just do like a subtle dance, like you really slow play it.
Sure.
And then you do a kick into a backflip. I think literally they'd have to stop the dancing to mop up all the floor from all the juices that came out of women.
All the ladies just
mop, right. Sopping wet.
No, you're absolutely right. That would be a stunning moment.
So here's another one. Would you rather be an old Asian man?
Yes, of course.
So ridiculous. Or a middle-aged white girl, 30 to 40. Asian man, meaning Chinese or Japanese speaking broken English, as the white girl is are not the hottest. He says the white girl will be a 6.5.
Okay.
And he writes in parentheses, I picked Asian man. Asian culture favors males. And at the end of the day, I still stand when I piss and don't have to worry about periods once a month / childbirth.
Right.
So you're an older Asian man and the respect that comes with it.
Yeah.
Or a 35-year-old six woman.
Such
ridiculous.
It's an insane question. I like it.
Yeah.
You know, I actually, it's funny.
These are the ones that get read, people.
Yeah.
So just remember that.
I saw a guy, saw an Asian gentleman on the subway a couple weeks ago.
Mm.
Long white beard.
Yeah.
Looked very, you know, and I guess it's very,
very
stereotypical.
Asian-y.
Very Asian-y. He looked like he had a lot of advice that he could impart on me. Maybe he was going to teach me some lessons or something.
Yeah, take you under his wing.
Yeah, to me, that was cool. And it probably feels good to be that guy, having this idiot look at you and think that you're going to teach him something.
Yeah, I don't know. A 35-year-old woman who's a 6.5 seems like a very... I don't know. I don't know if
Well, it doesn't seem like you're going on a lot of adventures.
No, you got a fupa.
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe, I don't know. I think I'm going with being a white woman really has its advantages, though.
Absolutely,
because they're getting all of the white privilege while also getting the underdog status of woman.
Right.
You know, in this day and age with PC culture and stuff like that, like you see, you know, and I don't, you know, right now I, as a white man, I can complain about nothing.
Right.
Nothing.
Right.
You and I, if we complain, it is white people problems.
Yeah. Well, and you know, that's the truth. And it's actually not even a bad thought to have. Like, if you start complaining about something, it's like, you know, let me put this shit into perspective. Because, like, I do understand that, like, white, college educated male in America, pretty good card.
You're playing with a lot of house money.
Right.
You know, so I think that. But Asian man just doing this all the time getting to do that.
Just grumbling agreement all the time.
Grumbling.
Sure.
I think I could deal with that. I'd go Asian man, older Asian man, you can be a good, I would want to be older Japanese man because I'm assuming I'd be good looking.
Of course. Well, of course. Right.
And then I would move to Japan.
Oh, sure. Just take it all the way.
Take it all the way.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm with you. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Let's do some news.
This is one of my favorite recent news stories, and I think it's a good one to talk about. If you remember back during like the Occupy Wall Street days, there was a lot of protests. This is like really when all the campus protests started.
Mm.
2011, there was an incident at UC Davis where these protesters were like sitting across the sidewalk, essentially, like in the, you know, the square or whatever of the college. And they weren't really, to my recollection, like doing anything bad. They were just sitting there. And I guess you kind of had to walk around them if you wanted to go. But they were creating a, you know, a bit of a stir.
Uh-huh.
The campus police guy comes over and he's trying to make the move. They don't want to get up. They're not, you know, they're protesting.
Mm.
So he just pepper sprays them all like point blank right in the face, all of them.
Yeah.
And it was just egregious. There was no reason to do it. So anyway, fast forward to now, UC Davis has spent $175,000 to try to scrub this incident from the internet. Because when you would search for them, this would be the first thing that would come up.
Oh, it's kind of like one of those things where, like, if you can get your background cleaned on the internet. You can buy the service.
Right. Yes. You can get the results moved around
so
that's not the top thing that comes up. Backfired though, and that's why I love it, because this story came out. So now there's, when you type UC Davis in, this story comes up and there's a picture of it happening.
Now it's the story about the story. Exactly. That's the first thing that you search.
Yep.
That's hilarious. It's also like, you know, I just tweeted something and the move is the Bill Burr move.
Uh-huh.
Where it's like, I don't care.
Right.
Just not caring is the best way to go about it. Because, yeah, you made a mistake, acknowledge mistake, and then move on.
Right.
Because everything UC Davis did, just keep bringing up the mistake and made it look like they couldn't handle that they made a mistake.
Oh,
admitting
course.
A mistake is like the best. It's always the cover up and never the crime.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Let's do the next one.
The Utah governor, Gary Herbert, is set to sign a resolution passed by the state legislature that calls for increased, quote, education, prevention, research, and policy change at the community and societal level to combat pornography.
So he wants pornography gone?
The resolution says that pornography perpetuates a sexually toxic environment, and efforts to prevent pornography exposure and addiction, to educate individuals and families concerning its harms, and to develop recovery programs must be addressed systematically in ways that hold broader influences accountable.
This guy either has the biggest porn issue or the weirdest one. I don't know what it is, but this guy's got a real issue with porno, because it's not that he doesn't watch porno.
Well, and here's the thing, he might not, but the reason he's not watching it is not because he doesn't want to. It's because he thinks in some level like he shouldn't, or it's this moral thing, which fine, if you have a moral reason against that,
I don't understand I don't understand where any politician is like wants to control a dick or vagina. I don't understand like where that impetus, like what kind of hero complex you have to come out and be like, what does he think? He's fucking Batman?
Yeah. Well, it's you know, it's religious stuff. I mean, he's from Utah. I'm sure he has some kind of religious thing going
like,
on there.
It's like, why? I don't understand. I don't understand the idea of like, he's saving me.
Right.
You know, you're not saving me. You're ruining my life. Okay.
Right. This is what I do to relax.
This is how I fall asleep at night.
Yeah.
Now I'm hooked on Ambien because I can't masturbate at night.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's a very strange thing. I do wonder that. And that's somewhere like we were joking before. It's like, I'm liberal, you're more conservative, whatever. But I think we can get together on the idea of like, what do you care what I'm doing? As long as I'm not hurting somebody else.
It's so strange.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense to me that like, that anyone could be like, oh yeah, you gotta stop masturbating. Am I your kid?
Right.
Are we related anyway? Then get the fuck out.
Right. And what does it matter? Okay. Oh, I'm addicted to pornography. So
my dad does this all the time. Well, like I remember when I was younger, we went to a Patriots game.
Yeah.
And my dad's like, my dad and my grandfather, they would just their response to anyone that would get in their business was drop dead, an immediate drop dead trigger, and it's the perfect like if this guy ever got drop dead.
Right.
Drop dead.
Yeah. Sorry, Governor Herbert.
I remember we parked at Gillette Stadium and the
parking person came over.
Yeah.
And they're like, you're not allowed to park here. And he goes, what? And it was like a, it was not a spot, but he was just, and I remember he just looked at this, it was this parking attendant, female parking attendant. And he just goes, looks at her and goes, well, drop dead. And then we walked away. And I was like, they're going to tow your car. And he goes, no, they're not. And right. I remember me being so anxious, and he just had this attitude of like, just drop dead.
Yeah, just very cavalier. He's and like, this is going to work.
We came back, car was there, totally fine. They had right. no authority.
And the one was just lying in the parking lot, yeah. just dead.
Just
yeah.
not, you know, dead and everything. So let's do some follow-ups.
Sure,
because yeah. we got all these follow-up emails that have been written about other emails, and I want to get to them.
I like that.
Yeah, they're good.
Because we give this advice, it's very nebulous then if we don't hear anything. It's yeah, cool to hear
well,
back.
These are a few follow-up emails. We'll get as many as we can, maybe just one. Hey, J-Train, in your most recent episode, you were talking about various drinking games and brotherhood activities. While in school in the Northwest, we had an activity we called hill climbers that we would usually do as a big and little brotherhood event before a party.
Okay.
Brothers would meet at this live out, which is like a off-campus apartment.
Okay.
They had three floors and would create a path from the first floor to the third floor by standing on the sides of the stairs and landings. The hill climber was a head-to-head relay race between pairs of bigs and littles that started at the foot of the stairs on the first floor. Each big and little would have an unopened beer in each hand and would race. The race would start with the older brothers lined up first. On go, they would sprint up the stairs to the third floor where they would shotgun their first beer. Meanwhile, all the other brothers are standing around with pots and pans, making as much noise as possible. Once done with the beer, they would run back down to the first floor, shotgun the second beer, then tag their little, who would then do the same thing. The team to finish all four beers first won, and puking was an automatic disqualification. I love this game.
That sounds
this would
pretty
continue
fun, yeah.
in a single elimination bracket until one pair was left as champion hill climbers. It was a great way to get fucked up and have fun cheering on your brothers as well as giving shit to anyone who puked.
This is great.
A great follow-up email. Hope some degenerates get to enjoy it. Also, send a bunch of shits to my buddy at dferris33 and Joe Junor. They're about to see a bunch of tits in Costa Rica and need to be brought back down to earth. Keep doing your thing, Jer. That's a good follow-up because we were talking about those drinking games.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, that's fun. That sounds like a good one.
We might have to do like a follow-up episode.
Oh, shit.
Yo, J-Train, long-time listener, and you're doing awesome. Can I say a million thank yous to whoever wrote in about read receipts? This has been a huge game changer. I'm a Latin girl who likes to play, who likes white guys, but y'all sometimes take forever to do shit like, damn, Anyways, by putting my read receipts on, I've been able to almost make them be quicker to respond and to be more forward, hence helping me get going earlier than to pretend to have shitty casual conversations. It's been awesome. Thanks a bunch. Keep doing you, boo. P.S. Why do white guys take forever? I don't know.
I think it's a guy thing.
I don't know if that's a white guy.
I'm pretty anal about when I get a text. Like, I'm getting better with it because I'm like, why am I answering this immediately?
You know, I'm a big immediate answer.
Yeah, it's hard not to.
Train, surprised this hasn't been asked, but have you personally or advised others to make moves with either A, when both parties have read receipts on, or the girl does? Keep bringing the fire. So I'm dealing with a girl right now that has read receipts on.
You think she listens to the podcast?
I don't know. It's funny. I like when they have them on.
Yeah.
I think we're both just getting towards the dick sucking quicker. You know, like I think we're getting to the point where we want to go. I'm not, dick sucking is like kind of a euphemism. We're getting to where we need to be.
Right.
And I think when the move is all about, I mean, it's a power move because it only works if you feel like you have the power.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't work.
Right. If you're going to, well, we got an email, I think, pretty recently where the guy or something, I forget, somebody asked you advice. And it's like, when you start to panic then because you didn't answer it, it's like, well, then you might as well just turn the read receipts off because you're not dealing with it correctly.
Right. You know, you have to be the aggressor, not the takee. Juju the Jew train. I've been preaching read receipts to my boys for the past few years. Everyone called me crazy. Power move, letting chicks know when you're choosing not to respond, and also courtesy to your bros, letting them know if you've seen their message or not. A girl texts me late night last weekend after three red messages with no response. She finally says, just come over and we'll fool around. The things you can accomplish by just letting a woman talk to themselves. Wow, that's unbelievable. What a result.
Well, where's the confidence going? It's like,
well, it's, you know, it's a slippery slope, man.
Yeah.
That's the thing. You write, where are you tonight? And then it's no answer. And you saw the red and it's like, are you going out tonight? See the red? And you're like, I'm at my place just waiting.
This is unbelievable. This is like a real social experiment that's been kicked off on this thing.
It really has. I think the kid actually got in touch with me that he's like super pumped that it's become this thing, the guy that emailed in. I wish he'd write it in again.
He should put it in his Twitter bio.
Hey, J-Train, my fiance and I came to your show at the Cellar last Sunday. We had a fucking blast seeing you live and taking Jameson shots with you and your buddies afterwards. Thank you. What are the chances that... Yeah, Benjo, famous on the podcast, yeah, was at the Cellar. He's sitting at the table with these people that listen to the podcast.
Oh, that's great.
So that was fun. So I'm not sure if you remember us saying why we were there, but I had an acting showcase that week, and long story short, it went well, and we're moving to the city this summer.
Wow, congratulations.
Congratulations. We'd love some advice on how to make this move work and be the best thing it can be. We're both actors with college degrees, Roll Tide, but we've loved some advice on ideal places to live, places to hang out, spend time, and just really how to make living in the city work when we're first starting out. Oh, man, that's a tough...
People are going to assume you're a dick with that accent in the city, yeah, at first. Just be ready for accent. It. Yeah, just be nice, though.
I'd love a response, even if you don't read this on the podcast, but who knows, maybe it could help out some people. P.S., if you do read this on the podcast, I want to make sure all your listeners know they need to find a way to see you live. Oh, that's too nice of you. You absolutely killed it. Thank you, thank you. I'm going to be at the Village Underground. Oh, actually, this is already out.
All right, well, whatever. So you killed it at the Village Underground. Yeah.
Hopefully I'm there again. But I think my biggest piece of advice is to live as cheaply as possible, especially for actors, but live as cheaply and as close to the city as possible. Give up comfort to be closer to Manhattan.
Absolutely. People underestimate how long it takes to get to do anything in Manhattan.
Yeah, there's always that one girl I'll meet. She's like, I'm in Bushwick, like way past Bushwick. And then she'll be like, but it's huge. I'm like, yeah, you're 24. What the fuck do you need all this space for?
You'd be better off living in Long Island at a certain point.
Yeah. So, I mean, get as close. Give up comfort when you first start out. I'm saying when you're young, moving to the city, give up comfort to convenience and general advice, and go to Hair of the Dog. Cheap booze.
We went there, obviously, for the live show. This first time I was there. That's a great bar.
Great bar, right, man? You didn't believe me.
No, I believe you. But it's like when you go, it's like you get the vibe. You're like, oh, this could be just fun any night.
Yeah. It's a great place. I say it every time. It's a base location. Yeah. You go there to start and to finish.
Yep.
That's not your night. It's what gets you going. And it's in a great area. That's, you know, that's what it is. Man, Sam, thank you for coming on.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
Totes preach. We're going to be back on Friday. This has been amazing, guys. I'm going to leave us. We have a poem.
Oh, my God.
I hope it's not too long. It's not too long.
Okay.
So we'll do a poem to end us. Guys, this is the J Train podcast. You can listen every Tuesday and Friday. Please subscribe. Keep telling your friends. And I leave you with a poem from our podcast poet,
the laureate of the J Train podcast.
Comedic timing. Hop on the J Train. You'll be glad that you rode. The conductor's advice helps with the crossroads. I've said it before and I'll say it again. This cheerful Jew is an 8, 9, 10. One thing that I've learned from Jared this year is that comedic timing helps you persevere. People love Jared because he knows yes and. He helps speakers who suck. He adds spice to the bland. As a stand-up comedian, he knows not to waste time. Just like yours truly, only this brote can rhyme. Jared's a whore. He never says no. That's why his guests flourish on the show. Well, sometimes he does, but his disagreement is not a cause for comedic bereavement. His constant chuckle tells you, go ahead, laugh. He communicates better than a damn telegraph. This lesson may be heavy, but that reliable chortle makes my mirth bubble forth as I neglect my morals. His laugh helps the pace. This is a little... This is getting me hard.
This is a bit of a tongue twister, you want?
Yeah, good. No, but this is also very, this is pumping my tires a little too much. I feel a little embarrassed. I never read these before. His laugh helps the pacing. It reminds me to snicker. There's no awkward pauses like there is with cheap liquor. He knows how to cut a joke after the punch. His timing efficient like a mimosa with lunch. TFM podcast at gmail.com. I'm told, but relevant like a CD-ROM. He added notes for how I should read that. That's insane.
I was wondering what happened.
Yeah, he said, use the voice you use when cutting off a joke and recite your email. Want to know how to tell when guests like it? When the podcast ends, they don't try to fight it. This ain't the case when it comes to this show. Guests always want more. They're like, that's all, bro. Jared's guests want to sit with him all day. It's because they like his pace, not because they're gay. Say guest's name suspiciously. He may go on tangents, but he brings it back to the topic at hand, so don't give him flack. His stories are relevant even when they're about his dick, his return to the joke before burning out the wick. So keep him in mind when you start cracking jokes. Emulate Jared's timing, all y'all long-winded folks. Keep up the efficiently paced jokes. Well, podcast poet, thank you. That was fun. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Please send in those emails. And we'll see you next episode. Boom.